Phil Leonis, Ilana Rain, and Dean Haglund in downtown Los Angeles. Alex Leftuke, Ed Wellman, Nicola Clancy, and Tasha Turney in downtown Lincoln, England. What's not to love, especially if you're measuring time via the Mayans?
The following takes place between the hours of 11:02 a.m. and 12 noon GMT.
She's done that very well, actually, regularly for the last, let's say, 18 hours of the show. It's amazing. Yeah, that's Sarah Huntley. She'll just come out, you know, do that piece and go back away again.
She's always very reliable, Sarah.
I think so.
I think so.
Graham Hart was very reliable as well. He might have woken up now, but he was in the studio for a good wee while, wasn't he, Ed? Ed's got his talk in the background there. Anyway, just in case you're wondering, we have the voice of so many wonderful jingles, including many of yours, Michelle Monroe. That is Malcolm Tomlinson. And his number one son, Ross Tomlinson, who has never been in the Siren Studios before.
I have never been in Siren Studios.
Never.
Before.
Exactly.
Wow.
See? And the cake's all ready for you. There'll be another cake coming in.
Yeah, look at the cake. It looks amazing.
It's truly
a
wonderful
thing.
I'm
definitely coming back.
Oh, it's genius, you know, from that perspective. Now, it would seem that Nikki, who's gone to powder her nose, which could be interesting, she's got 7 minutes before she comes back and we celebrate this whole thing, she's insistent on playing the final for Countdown. I think that's a cliche, you know, probably because she's German. That's the whole thing. You've decided, Michelle, to go for something completely different in those classic words.
Now today's very special choice comes from a 1960 epic war film made by Alpha and Carlisle Productions and distributed by United Artists. Produced and directed by Jutta Preminger, the film was based on the 1958 novel by Leon Uris, and its celebrated soundtrack music was written by Ernest Gold. Now, this film theme has been widely remixed and covered by numerous artists. A version by Ferrante and Tisha went all the way to number 2 on the Billboard Singles Chart, while jazz saxophonist Eddie Harris recorded another notable version. Other artists to cover the track were Mantovani, Peter Nero, Connie Francis, the 1960s British instrumental band The Eagles, and the Duprés, who sang the theme with lyrics written by Pat Boone. The list goes on and include gospel pianist Anthony Berger, singer Edith Piaf, who sang in French, and classical pianist Maxim Vicker. I think that's how we pronounce that. Now, Trace Speranzi of the Secret Chiefs 3 rescored the theme for surf band and orchestra on the album 2004 Book of Horizons. Howard Stern uses it for comedic effect when discussing aspects of Jewish life. Different samples of the theme have been used in several hip-hop songs, including an Ice-T interpretation from the album The Seventh Deadly Sin, Nas's song Yedda Man from the album Stillmatic, and T.I.'s song Bankhead from the album King. A portion of the main title was included in a montage arranged by composer John Williams and performed at the 2002 Academy Awards ceremony. The artist Nina Paley used the entire theme song to satirical effect in her animated short titled after the lyrics, This Land Is Mine. My dad recorded his version on the 15th of March 1964 at Abbey Road Studios under the orchestral leadership of Johnny Spence. Produced by the legend that is George Martin, it appeared on Dad's album I Have Dreamed, while a different version saw release on the 2006 CD Heart of a Man. A live performance was released on Yesterday, the legendary Manila concerts in 2008. The song, Exodus.
Just heard that Chris Ilsley, normally one of the key judges of the KCAR competition, has gone down with norovirus. That's norovirus for Chris Ilsley. It's an interesting one here. Thankfully, we have Malcolm Tomlinson and son Ross to actually step into the celebrity cake judging scenario, because we also have the arrival of, yes, you've guessed it, Michelle.
Not only talk. She's a dancer, a Meryl Streep aficionado, entertainment correspondent, and from Yorkshire. What's not to love?
But is it enough to actually see her wrest the Cake Off Challenge crown? I don't know. Natalie, welcome to the show.
Hello, good morning. Yeah. Have I just made it before the world ends?
I've actually rung the Mayans and asked them if they could delay it till after the Strictly Come Dancing final.
Well done.
Good. Mm. Always important from that perspective. Yes, we have a little over 70 seconds now So you might as well stick with us, Michelle, for this. Got just enough time to squeeze in those last two questions, I think. Which are always important. Malcolm, of course, they are.
Michelle, have you had a reasonably interesting
life.
Telephonic chat and life yeah. before the end of the world in a few seconds' time?
I have.
And if you don't die shortly, will you come back and do it again soon?
Well, I will, but unfortunately I'll be pre-recorded for a little while as I'm off on my travels.
See, she's already got that spaceship already booked. Yeah. You know, she's left her prereqs.
Alex, you can hear it here first. I have a new project that I'll be launching when I get back.
Oh, can you share with us that, Michelle? 33 seconds to go.
No, you'll have to wait.
Mm. Yeah, she's heading for the escape pod like the James Bond film, isn't she?
Yeah, I'm going in my tunnel here.
it's a
whole new pod.
It's a whole new experience.
Oh, hang on, I think this is it.
No,
I know it's the postman.
No.
They're telling you by letter.
We never quite know what's going to happen with respect to that. S 9 seconds, 8. So we could actually do a big countdown here. Five, four, three, two, one.
Oh,
but the website has gone down and
you're
collapsed.
Still talking, Alex.
Yeah, exactly. Yes.
Have you missed it?
Yeah, never mind.
We're all here.
It's been the end of the world of the virtual lifetime things, etc. Michelle, it's been a blast.
It has.
We're going to speak to Shane Rimmer and Sheila Rimmer very shortly.
Oh, give them my love.
We will indeed.
And with everybody, have a happy, happy Christmas and a very happy and healthy 2013.
Five, four, three, two, one.
Thunderbirds, James Bond, Stanley Kubrick, Meryl Streep, Joan 90, Doctor Who, Batman Begins, Superman, The Three Martinis, The Three Deuces, and Dick's Banner. Who needs anything more to welcome the legendary Shane and Sheila Rimmer to the midweek drive?
Yay, Shane, Sheila, go.
Good morning, Alex.
We're still alive. Yep, we're still alive. We're here. The countdown has worked.
I'm just wondering, we're all right. And strangely enough, this is the clearest, sunniest day that we've had in weeks.
There you are.
So somehow we're not going to talk any more about the weather.
There we are.
I talk about Mayan calendars.
Sometimes I feel it's rather like the equivalent of the Judith and Malcolm show getting Shane and Sheila Rimmer on at the same time.
Yes.
It's like mystery.
Yes.
It's fantastic.
You're taking a chance every time you do that, you know.
We're flattered to be compared to you, Shane and Sheila.
My God. Yes.
Truly wondrous in every sense of the word. Now, Shane and Sheila, you join us at the time where William Sitwell kind of left us earlier in the programme, giving his sort of views. And I think it's fair to say we pretty much agreed, Nikki, you are the sole remaining judge of that particular team, that it was not the brown log.
It was not the brown log
that was effectively, you know, being booked as going into the European line.
Although it would have been a contender in the pudding category.
Would have been a contender in the pudding category. That's been said about many of my students. But, you know.
I hope not. You'll be out of a job, then.
We deal with those puddings, we work them out, and they become like little ducklings, swans, etc.
Yes, but it's a risky word, though, isn't it?
It's very risky. Yeah. Obviously, the system is now that we have that was a challenge. So that cake has gone through to the next round. So if you'd like to bring that together with the latest entrance, of course, this one we will identify, it is Natalie Tuck. You don't really know Natalie.
No, never met her.
It's neutral, so this is okay. So we don't have to worry about that from that point of view. Last time she was caught guilty of trying to influence the judges. I'm sorry. But she takes this very seriously. But anyway, without anything else, we have Ross and we have Malcolm and we have clearly Nikki in the studio. Would you like to bring the cakes across here, the two sort of things that are actually in the lead now? And this is where we need to have, first of all, the description. This is where we use our powers of description to ensure that Shane and Sheila, even though they're not with us in the studio physically, so they can't engage in the taste test, they are going to engage in the virtual description base. Because as William Sitwell said, and as editor of Waitrose Food, he should know, you know, sometimes that description, the smell, the sort of things. Shane, feel free, likewise Sheila, if you want to chip in with any other lines and say,
I don't think this is a fair play here. We're down here in London,
yes.
And you're up there
In Lincoln,
and
yes.
We don't know what you're talking about.
Okay, we'll do shortly because we will describe them to you.
Exactly, two oh, cakes for
All
our
will
Christmas.
Be revealed, will it?
Very okay. much so. Okay, okay. Nikki. It's...
Right. Okay, I shall try and do a better job this time. The first cake is a sponge cake. It is traditionally round shape.
Yellow.
Is yeah. yellow. Yellow icing. Yellow butter icing. I can tell you now, having tasted it, with yellow sugary stars, and they cross off pink. Sugary, crystally things across the top, and a very sweet bow tie of mini pink marshmallows. Okay. My theory is it was made by a lady for a little girl.
Really?
It has that look about it. The sponge
what, do you, what do you think, Malcolm?
Well, I think she's doing a fantastic job describing it. I was just hoping she wouldn't ask me.
The sponge is light, with a sort of buttercream layer in the middle and some raspberry jam, I think.
Are we going to be judging this?
Yes.
You are going to be judging
this. This is serious stuff, guys. You know, this is why you are our celebrity judges.
You're going to give us a sample.
Right. Well, I can get you how it sounds.
That's
it makes
why we have Ross and Malcolm in the studio to do the taste there. Ross, are you
right, I'm going to have to
retrieve the
knife. Can't taste that. We need the tasting there. We might need to actually send out for some... in fact, Natalie, would you like to ask Ian... Oh, haven't got the plates in there. We've got everything else. We've got all our cutlery.
Yep. Shall I be wrong?
Well, it's always a way forward, is it?
Yes. Okay, so it goes. The knife goes through like...
You didn't say the baker of this cake... got the norovirus earlier on, did you?
No, I think that was another judge who wasn't here who hasn't actually tasted any of these cakes.
Okay, just checking before I eat it.
With best wishes for a Merry Christmas.
Excellent, thank you.
You're so cautious.
Like?
Spoken like a true Canadian, Shane. I can go with
that.
Are
you going to try the competition, Natalie?
Barrel through it.
You could eat it, you can't comment on it. Okay, that's all I can say. All right, Ross, of course, can do both. So can Malcolm. The tasting is actually taking place now. Which is
are
very
you
good,
eating right? and talking at the same time?
They are not eating and talking at the same time. I'm going to talk, I'm going to comment on their faces. They're looking, they're chewing. They're frowning, they're swallowing, looking engaged.
Yes.
Okay, it's very rich.
It is rich.
And it's got a sort of a creamy sort of... ultra-creamy sort of bit in the middle.
Ultra-creamy bit in the middle. You could be describing yourself.
Very, very sweet.
I thought that was an initial description of the three martinis, an ultra-creamy bit in the middle, but never mind.
It sort of tends to take over your mouth. It sort of fills it up a lot. Or maybe I just bit a bit too much.
That would be a change.
It is good.
Okay.
Yeah, that is a good word.
Yeah.
Ross.
Oh, well, I'm not going to complain. It's lovely.
Oh, well said!
I'm just quite happy eating my cake.
It's not complaining. It's a case of, you know, kind of... Because this is crucial stuff here. I mean, you know...
Yeah.
Obviously, the U log didn't quite make it to this because it wasn't sure whether it was a pudding or a log. And that's probably what sort of... It fell at that hurdle, really. Is it a pudding? Yeah. Is it a log? This cake is obviously in the mix, so to speak. Is there anything else you need to know, Shane and Sheila, from our tasters here and our describers?
Well, just let us know if you've survived all this and we will, you know... Otherwise, we'll have to send a card of condolence to somebody. What would you like us to do?
Well, we have the next cake.
Are we ready for the next one? I mean, are you happy with that first one? So we're ready onto the next cake in the challenge. There are only two, so don't worry, you know, in case you're losing the will to live. We are working through this.
They've just survived the end of the world. They're not going to lose the will to live.
And what better way to celebrate than with cake?
Okay, exactly. The second offering is beautiful. Oh, it's reindeer fairy cakes.
No. Reindeer fairy cakes.
Oh, they're absolutely brilliant. They're in little festive cases with lots of chocolate buttery icing on the top. It is chocolate buttery icing. Yes, I'm getting a nod here. They have little white marshmallow ice with chocolate flakes on the top, a red smarty nose, and get this, I love this, absolutely adore this. They have little pretzly ears.
Antlers.
Antlers.
Pretzly antlers. Oh my word.
I'm a little bit, they look fantastic. I'm a little bit dubious about the whole salt and sweetness thing, but it might work. Maybe be eaten.
I think
separately.
It's called fusion. In culinary terms,
it is fusion. It's like cooking a chili with chocolate in. Yeah. Done that before? So I'm going to hand these out now. They look absolutely gorgeous.
Okay. Malcolm, you get
that big fat one in the middle.
Oh, yeah,
that's a bit personal. I'm a presenter here.
Anyway, are you having one each?
We're definitely having one each. Are you going to have one?
Sorted through from this point of view. So Ed? Taster's batch to take place.
Oh, Ed's having one, yes. Ed's nodding his head.
The great thing about these is you can actually name them all different names. You know, you can
and then eat
them. Are you going to have done that already?
Exactly. It's a bit like your own personal culinary confectionery abattoir.
Alex is passing
I can't possibly see. Exactly. I have to sort of say no, yeah, because clearly it's sorted through with that. So, Ross, what do we make of this second entry, this challenger?
I've just eaten a pretzel with lots of chocolate on it.
Yes.
And
does it work?
I have to say,
yeah,
I'm not really enjoying it.
Oh.
But I don't know. The rest is lovely.
Okay.
Well, I'm just eating the chocolate bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's absolutely sensational.
All right. Okay, Nikki.
I'm sure it's the nose.
I'm going to take a bite now. Oh. So excuse me for a minute.
Okay. Yeah. Shade, I don't know if you're getting a sense of any winner that's coming through here, or indeed Sheila. I mean, Sheila, are you a cake baker yourself?
Indeed, yes.
Clearly, should have actually entered. You know, we should have had you up here. You know, doing this.
The chocolate cake's fantastic.
We'll have
a summer
cake.
That's definitely got some Nigella value going on. It's very rich, very gooey, very creamy. Finger licking good. In back.
So, any questions, Sheila, you'd like to...
What are the reindeer, what do you call them, the horns? Or
antlers.
Antlers, yeah.
What do they taste like?
They taste like pretzels.
Pretzels?
You know, the little pretzels that you can get.
Oh, pretzels.
Snack food.
Yeah.
That you can
very
get.
Very American, I find.
Pretzels.
They are. She did say pretzels. You used to get them in New York. Now you get them on reindeer. Yeah. It's
and
strange.
It all sounds rather synthetically too sweet.
But, you know, you can get these pretzels chocolate covered, so the idea isn't a million miles off working.
No.
But they don't work as well for the poor deer or whoever's underneath all this.
That's very true. Mm. But then again, you know, why should we worry about that? Because, you know...
That's true. There's enough things to worry about.
Precisely. I'm getting a sense, I don't know, Nikki, you're going to be summating on this particular thing, I'm getting a sense that we might be veering, with obviously Ross's notable exception about the pretzels not necessarily being top of the list there, might be veering towards the reindeer. I think
we might be veering for the reindeer.
Yeah. Well, Malcolm, what are your thoughts on
this? Yeah, I think from a presentation point of view, the reindeer have it hands
presentation,
down.
Presentation, if we're scoring it on that basis.
Yeah, if we're scoring it on that basis, definitely the reindeer, because they look so attractive and fun. Oh. And taste-wise... I'm a sucker for chocolate, so I'm going to go for them as well. Mm.
So, are you happy with that, Nikki, as our chief judge?
I would have to go with that. I mean, the yellow fairy sprinkles cake is beautiful, but it's very sweet, and I it's almost too sweet for me, whereas I can deal with the sweetness
of
the chocolate.
It's kind of more a sort of
comforting chocolatey sweetness. So I'm definitely leaning towards the reindeer antler.
Which means, I think, in the classic words of Habemus Papam, not that we're occupying a new pope. Yes, exactly. The white smoke has come forth.
You haven't asked our opinion yet, though.
Good question. Sheila, where are you going to go? Are you going to go for
reindeer.
The yellow...
Yes.
This looks as though it's unanimous from
that
particular
routine. Did
you have
a tweet from the pope just then, Sheila?
Keeping this. So in second runners-up position... For the sensational event that has been the Christmas cake-a-thon, part of
the
marathon, etc.
Second runner-up is.
No, that's actually first runner-up you're holding up there.
Second runner-up
is indeed the log. In fact, you're quite right.
Whose was the log?
That log would be the log that deserved our MA Community Radio student, Ed Wellman. Ed Wellman, congratulations.
Round of applause.
Here we are.
Well done, Ed.
Our first male entry into the cake-off competition, and he comes into second year runner-up position.
Lovely log, Ed.
Very good.
Well done, Ed.
Nice log, my son. Well done.
Very good.
In first runner-up, and of course the cake that needs to assume duties should any of the other primary winners' duties ever actually be unfulfilled over the course of the year, is indeed from Tasha Turney, the summer winner of the whole thing. Yes, she has actually sort of secured second.
Well done, Tasha.
And in first place,
winner is...
clearly, you know, we have the one which belongs to...
You're listening to Natalie Tuck on the Midweek Drive.
Yes, Natalie Tuck has come and sorted out a magical treat in herself. She's actually brought... So, Natalie, you took it very seriously, Natalie. Yeah, right from the off, you were dealing with this. You came back from France, especially for this, I believe.
From Belgium, yeah.
Belgium, yeah. Exactly.
Yeah, can I just say that Tash shared with us earlier that she had to make these twice... So the dedication was such that she went
That's
out
Natalie,
and made them... Natalie.
Tasha, I think, just threw it together.
Put some vinegar in and some bicarbonate soda. That's Tasha does.
Yeah, well, I think so. So this time, so it sets up a grand summer contest, though, doesn't it, really?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, I just like to thank my neighbours for the eggs.
Yeah.
just
talk Shane and Sheila and the listener through this. Green. I mean, what did you go through, Natalie, to actually get to this whole routine?
I went wrong. My first batch went really wrong because there was more than 12 in my first batch, and I opened the oven to put the second tray in, and it was in, the oven was open too long, it let too much air in, so the first batch didn't bake.
Sheila, don't you just hate it when that happens? You open the oven up and there's too much air in and suddenly the batch are ruined, you know?
Yeah. So then we'd ran out of eggs, so we had to ring up my lovely neighbours, and they came to the side door with some eggs for me. And yeah.
That's the community spirit. Yeah, I like it.
It's very, very impressive. And then, of course, there was a panic. Were you going to get here in time?
I going to get here in time?
No, very, very sort of difficult from that sort of point of view, but you've made it.
It's a very dramatic world you live in.
I know.
Yeah, the police escort did it, didn't it?
Yeah.
And all of this was the undercurrent of the potential end of the world.
Yes.
Whoa.
It was just quite tense. Actually, yeah.
Sorry, I had to clear my throat from all this.
I know where you're coming from, Shane. I think I'm going to have to go and clear my throat as well in the near future. But, you know, Richard Fitzwilliam is coming up.
Do come back sometime, and I want you to just...
Sorry. I know, it's important. Malcolm, any questions for Shane about life, the universe, his latest movie with Tim Burton, anything else?
Are you making a movie with Tim Burton? Well, now Ross should ask you about this.
Yes, let's hear about your movie with Tim Burton.
Ross is a huge Tim Burton fan.
Indeed, Shane was the person who, in the scene in Dark Shadows, in the routine, you were there, were you not, Shane? You were that person.
I was there at the end of the table, yeah, somewhere.
Oh, wow.
There we are.
But I must say that the director, Tim, Tim Burton, was the most delightful person to work with. You know, some directors sort of impose a kind of...
Total swine. You wouldn't want to actually share a cake with them. You know, they just hate you. All right. Malcolm's worked with some of them. We know.
But he was a delight. And a very talented man, obviously. So that wasn't a bad happening at all. It was very nice. And I think that the picture is... doing very well. It seems to be vampire year, doesn't it?
Well, oh yes, Barnaby Collins, Johnny Depp, you know, Johnny Depp as the Lone Ranger / Tonto. Actually, he's Tonto, Lone Ranger, very confusing. Yeah. Never mind, Native American Indians, we talked about that with Gene Bruce Scott and Randy Reinholtz.
Oh, yeah.
Celebrate good times. Ed, are you there? You've filtered your arms again, are you sitting out? Good. Just, Ed has been with us the whole thing, and obviously, bearing in mind, he had to cook the cake as well yesterday.
He's
very
probably
good.
Still eating the cake,
is he? Hey, we're sharing that cake. Let them eat cake, is our official line here. And we'll be saying let them eat cake as well to the fine folk in the press office here, because we did promise them we'd send some cakes along, and we'll send Ian and folk along to that. Natalie, would you like to throw those last two questions to Shane Rimmer and Sheila Rimmer, please?
Shane and Sheila, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic conversation with us today?
Well, I feel very sorry that we didn't have a chance to eat the cakes. I think it's very unfair of Alex to get us on the phone, and we're sitting here drooling, and you're all...
We'll forgive you, though.
Ultimate sacrifice.
You might send us a little piece of cake, you know, just to keep our memories alive and old.
Yeah. We'll see what we can do. Natalie?
And can we look forward to connecting with you in the near future?
Well, I hope so. I hope so. It's always a delight. We have to override some of the things that Alex poses on us, but it's usually a very favourite time of the morning.
Well, there we are. That's what we like to hear. And I noticed, Natalie, you're still in the zone. You got those two questions. Bang, straight in there. Forgotten. Still on tour. Just like you're never away.
So much practice, you see.
Sorted. Exactly.
Did we tell you that we're going on a cruise in March?
Ooh. You're going on a cruise in March?
First one ever.
Shane is a guest speaker. We're going to the Northern Lights.
Wow.
Oh, amazing. There we are. And you'll be listening to Shane talking about his life with Stanley Kubrick, with Gerry Anderson, with a whole heap of other goodies, from Thunderbirds to Pterodactyls. Yeah, that's the book. Autobiographic genius, I would say. Autobiographic genius. Yeah. So, brilliant stuff. We might have to hook up in various ways. Well, we will do that before then, anyway, shape or form. Richard Fitzwilliams is actually up next. Plus, we've got a presentation of some of the prizes and various other bits and pieces. This is Rebecca Poole. Bye-bye, Shane. Bye-bye, Sheila.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye, everybody.
Happy Christmas.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye. A young lady who should be joining us later on in the production, Rebecca Poole, in my head again. Well, she is. She can be. She does. Online now, about to take part in the presentation ceremony for the cake scenario. We have Richard Fitzwilliams. How are you, Richard?
Well, I am very well indeed, I have to say.
Good.
Extremely well, all these festive parties, you know.
Exactly. Now, Richard, before we actually start reflecting on various other things, we need to do introductions. We have in the studio Malcolm Tomlinson, whose daughter, of course, Eleanor Tomlinson, is in the movie next year, Jack the Giant Slayer. Jack the Giant Slayer, as we said. You know, we heard Eleanor yesterday. Absolutely. I thought, you know, not Jack the Giant Killer, Jack the Giant Slayer. There's these people who... Anyway, and we also have Malcolm's son, Ross Tomlinson, equally talented. All sort of wondrous folk in every day.
Going to be seen on Casualty in April.
Casualty in April.
Yes.
Nice. Yeah. It's harsh, but fair. Very good. Yeah. As a victim, as a, you know, what?
Oh, as a victim. Yes.
It's been the same since he was a choir boy at Winston at Beverly Minster.
Yes.
Very good. Always thought it was considered a whole new world. And we also have ace author and indeed head of the judging panel for the cake off today. That would be Nikki Wells.
Hi.
Yes, there we are. And the return of the person who said, oh, I love Richard. Yes, she's the one who shared time with us in London when we did another one of our Fitzwilliams Leftuke Tuck audio postcards for Southside Broadcasting and Sirens Midweek Drive, of course, tis Natalie.
Oh, yes, indeed. Fondly remembered.
Fondly remembered. Always very
Hello,
much.
Hello, Richard.
Hello, Natalie.
Now, part prizes coming through now. Not only do you get an uncorrected book proof, very special this, Deborah White's Deceit, okay, the second in a follow-up to the thriller Wickedness. I'm not suggesting this is part of your tactics that you've used for the whole thing, Natalie, but, you know, follow-up to the thriller Wickedness, modern-day teen Claire and her 17th-century counterpart Margaret discover it is impossible to escape the clutches of the sinister Doctor, who breaks the boundaries of time and mortality to pursue them both. Prize number one. Prize number two. Yeah, I think so. I think so.
Well done, Natalie.
Might even.
Speech.
Yeah, might even. Yeah, I'm thinking Nikki may even possibly have a copy of the Rockstar trilogy to sort of throw in there. What do you think? Do you think that'd be good?
Yeah, that's nice.
She also gets one of the rare collector's items editions of the Midweek Drive, www.sarinonline.co.uk and southsidebroadcasting.podbean.com Adventures in Radio Broadcasting, featuring, of course, the summer entrance there and a whole heap of other goodies.
That has to go on your wall.
Yeah, I hope you can sense the excitement that's building up here, because we've also got a copy for Malcolm as well.
Oh, my goodness,
as chief routine.
That's going above my bed, Alex.
Not when you look at who's on January. But anyway, that's a different line entirely.
Oh, it's you!
You can work your way through that. As you'll see, Natalie appears both on the front cover, on the back cover, and on the month of October in her own unique way. So I feel, Richard, as though we've actually sort of delivered some magical things here.
Sounds like it indeed.
Well, exactly. That's what we're about here, delivering magical things. As I say, with some foresight. I mean, we'll already be working on Ross. We'll take some photos now. 2014, Ross, don't worry. We'll get you there. Can I say? It was just Derek Thompson. He bundled you out of the way and said, I want to be on that page. I want to be with your dad and your sister.
That's the bottom line.
You can see that, Malcolm. Have you reached that stage?
Yes.
Yeah, you see that, yeah.
September.
That was a great... How much did you raise for the Jockeys Fund?
Just under £100,000. It was for Racing Welfare, actually, Alex. Great fun.
This is serious stuff. Exactly. Nicola Clancy sends her very best.
Ah, good. Is she right?
Well, she appears in the calendar. What more can I say?
Oh, well, I'll find her.
Are you happy with that, Natalie?
Oh, there she is.
Thank you for my prize.
April.
There we are. Well, exactly. Always useful. So, Richard, we've got a few moments before we go back to Los Angeles, and indeed we're taking another link from, Rosemary Langhorne, formerly Legs & Co, etc. What would you like to talk about? Since last we spoke, what was it? Ooh, nigh on 27 hours ago. Are you still there, Richard?
Yes, I am indeed.
Yes. such a thing was unheard of. I thought, clearly, Richard Fitzwilliams goes quiet. It must have been the end of the world. You must have missed it.
Well, I mean, the end of the world could be. It could be, but I doubt it somehow.
That's okay. That's fine. We're happy with respect to that, then. Natalie, would you like to take over this banner? Because, you know, you bond with Richard. You know, you share the same taste in royalty. You have the same sort of passionate sort of commitment to film, etc. You love the Iron Lady. You know, it's just a wonderful thing. So, you know, it is over to you whilst Ian Mills delivers the coffees.
Yep. Richard, what's your favourite Christmas film, then, that you like to watch around this time?
Ooh, good question.
Well, it's a very difficult one, Natalie, because obviously it depends what time, and I haven't seen the lists for this year, but what tends to be on, you know, you've got a mixture between The Sound of Music, Oliver, Zulu, and all the rest of it. You have the carols on New Year's Day in Vienna, which is absolutely lovely, and it's also a question of what time you've got, because at this time of year, I do a lot of reviews of the year, also I'm out quite a lot. So, you know, will you be recording the West Side Story for the 10th time, that sort of thing, or could one perhaps sneak in an extra look at some favourite film that's being shown again? I mean, it does depend a question on of time. I find, strangely enough, the way passes, I'm sure the same with you, it's quite difficult actually to settle down, you know, to actually settle in front of television for the amount of time some of these films take. You know, Ben-Hur and Christmas, yeah. You've got 2.5 hours or three.
Unbelievable. Did you find it difficult to settle down, Ashley?
I find it difficult to watch films back to back. Like, I can't have a day of just watching films. I have to watch a film and then go do something else. But
it's a question, to some extent, when it comes to watching films, of not only the time you've got, but in previews, sometimes you've absolutely got to. One of the things I arrange, as you notice, to do about 2 films a week, so that I don't get in a situation which some film critics have, if they're full-time film critics, of actually spending a whole day in the cinema watching different films. Because if you do that, it's so difficult, I think, sometimes to remember the plots of the films. You know, you have too much of a, well, it can be a good thing, it can be a nightmarish, depending on the quality.
What have you seen recently, Richard, that you recommend?
Well, I mean, what I recommend for the coming year, and at the moment, I would say Les Miserables would be an experience that you will never forget. I think it's absolutely wonderful. Spielberg's Lincoln, I think everybody should see. I think that's marvellous. And Daniel Day-Lewis, fabulous performance.
Is he going to win that Oscar?
Oh, yes, and it'll be his third, which will be a record. Jack Nicholson has won 3, but won for Terms of Endearment was Best Supporting Oscar. Mm-hmm. So, really, what we've got is, I'd say, a cert, unless the Academy go for the disabled John Hawkes in the Sessions, and that's quite a movie.
Right. Well, what about Anne Hathaway in Les Miserables, Richard? Do you tip her as well?
Yes, I definitely tip her.
Right.
I think she's extremely good. I think she's done wonderfully well.
She was very good as Catwoman in Batman, I thought. But on Dark Knight Returns. But of course, Richard, I forget, you don't really rate that movie because pretty much just a Bane impersonation there.
Dark Knight Rises was
A mess, according to you. It's all right. You also described The Hobbit yesterday as being okay if you like that sort of thing.
Let's face it, The Hobbit's looking for its fan base, and its fan base will find
hairy feet,
the scenery, and also the battles.
Yes.
I mean, that will be entertaining.
Peter Jackson-esque.
Jackson-esque, I would have said when you had The Lord of the Rings, you see, there you've got 3 movies at absolute perfection. You've got a series that was regarded as genius nationally, internationally, Oscars, all the rest of it. Then you had King Kong, which showed a certain slackness, and now you've got a continuation of that, a movie that wasn't very gripping, but the fans will enjoy it, and you do want to send that message out. Of course, it breaks box office records. The problem is the 3D the prices are so high. And I'm still not convinced that 3D adds that much. The Life of Pi, yes, I can certainly see there, where you've got these mesmeric scenes at sea in this extraordinary story, which is regarded as unthinkable. You've got Ang Lee, who's must be one of the most versatile directors, anyone who had Brokeback Mountain, The Ice Storm, Sense and Sensibility.
And The Incredible Hulk. And The Incredible Hulk.
Oh, we forget.
Every time. Listen, let's move on, because, Natalie, you are an unabashed, unashamed royalist and fan of Her Majesty, are you not?
I love the Queen. The Queen's speech will be in 3D this year.
And HD, OK?
Oh, wow.
So, wow, you almost reach out and touch
her.
Exactly. I can see it's going to be a joy in the Tomlinson household.
Yes, it's going to be.
With the Queen's speech is on board.
I just won't get a seat on the sofa.
Richard, what are your views on this? For Natalie, if not for anybody else.
Well, I think it's the way the royals have been going, because since the late 90s, they've been looking at all the opportunities on online in the new media, and they've been taking them. And what we've been seeing is Twitter and Flickr and Facebook, and now this idea that if you've got a television equipped for 3D, then you can watch the Queen's speech on it if you're so minded, which is just fair enough. The speech is going to be previewed for the 24th, and what's interesting is that it'll be on, in clips of it, will be on the news. The Queen does it, of course, in her own words. It dates back to George V in 1932, scripted by Kipling, launching the Empire Service. And so there's a tradition of it, and she's done it every year except for 1969, when the film The Royal Family, which you can't see now, was repeated. Fascinating is that in one way or another, even if they didn't see the whole speech, and no longer does the nation at 3 o'clock tend to switch on in their millions, even if you see just part of it, the Queen's message will get across to millions, and that's the idea.
Quite right, too. Just at 1 o'clock, probably, we'll be joined by the comedian and pundit Richard Herring. He'll be talking about the question, is the traditional joke dying, or indeed is it dead? Have online funnies replaced conventional joke telling? Something to actually consider there for the online station Dave, and hopefully they'll be calling into us from that point of view. Does that answer your question, Natalie, about the royals and such like? Anything else you want to pose to Richard? I mean, you know, you realise he could probably take over single-handedly the remaining 6 hours of the programme, but, you know, time is tight. We need to progress.
What was your reaction to the announcement of the royal baby?
I was absolutely delighted, though naturally sorry that Kate was suffering from acute nausea. At the time, I was in Berlin, and Wi-Fi reception was awful, and
outrageous.
I only heard when I returned to my hotel.
We felt for you, Richard. We felt your pain.
We're able to do numerous television slots.
I know.
Yes, one of these things happen, but obviously this is the news that we were waiting for, and everyone, whether it was peanut butter at a reception that had been refused, or champagne that had been refused, or every little fine. I mean, people had been watching for this for ages, because they'd indicated so clearly they wanted to start a family. So it really was a matter of time, and it was intended to be launched as news on Christmas Day, which was, of course, a lovely thought, but obviously given the 24-hour news coverage these days, and the fact that she had to go into hospital, it wasn't possible to keep any form of secret. But, oh no, I think it's wonderful news. And again, it's been a year with the Diamond Jubilee. So many wonderful events, so much internationally as well throughout the Commonwealth, and also a year when there have been tough and surprising photographs, Harry firstly in Las Vegas, and also those of the Duchess, and the fact that they were only published in 6 outlets, and they're pretty tainted, and that there was a certain sense of global decency, I think bodes rather well. Equally, you never know what's coming, and when you're royal, every single thing you do, it's under the microscope.
In many ways, Malcolm, you must feel the same when you actually bestride the streets of Beverly these days.
Yeah, I was just thinking the same thing.
Exactly.
It's impossible to walk down past groups these days.
Exactly, without, you know, people coming out and the paparazzi actually there checking out the Malcolm Tomlinson topless shots. It's amazing.
Yeah, on Bridlington Beach. Yeah. It's my fault, though, Alex. It's my fault. I should have realised.
Yeah, I think so. You know, just don't, you know, remember, telephoto lenses. Two words. That's the important thing. So, overall, 2012, a good year from your own perspective, Richard.
Oh, most emphatically, yes. And, I mean, it's a very, very enjoyable trip to Madrid, Paris, Brussels, Berlin, and New York. So, from that point of view, too, culturally, absolutely marvellous. And certainly for the country. I mean, Diamond Jubilee, the Olympics, the Paralympics, what more can one say other than it has been an absolute triumph? Difficult for some financially, there's no question about that. But equally, I've loved it.
There you go. Malcolm, last two questions for Richard Fitzwilliams, please.
Richard, have you had a reasonably interesting telephonic chat with us today?
Yes, I most certainly have.
And would you be good enough to come back and talk to us again?
I look forward to it. I only look forward to knowing the date, what date
that would be. Thursday the 10th of January, Richard.
I look forward very much
pretty
to
much
that
the whole thing, yep, because I figured that, you know, after 26 hours, 25 hours, I think probably the citizens of Lincoln and globallysirenonline.co.uk will need a break from the midweek drive, amongst other things. Anyway, life continues. Nikki's still with us, Malcolm's still with us. Natalie, you still okay?
I'm still, yeah,
excellent.
Still okay.
Very
I'm
good.
Going strong.
And I must also miss everyone a very, very happy Christmas and New Year.
Very, very, very happy Christmas. Very, very happy New Year. That's very important. Here's Genesis.